Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gates of the city, a man who had died was being carried out. He was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now a large crowd from the city was with her, and when the Lord saw her, he was deeply moved with pity. And he said, "Don't cry." He stepped forward and he touched the coffin. The bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, get up." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear seized everyone, but they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has risen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. This is good news from the Lord. I bet very few of us can even imagine God suffering. We began almost half of the prayers of the church with Almighty God. When you're almighty, you don't suffer. And yet, if we are the people who believe that Jesus reveals the hidden heart of God, we can't see God. We don't know where to look. And of course, the final answer is to look everywhere, but it takes us a while to get there. And so God gave us Jesus so we could look at this one human life and know what the inside of God is like, what God cares about. And what it reveals from the beginning to this kind of gospel we just read is that, in fact, the Bible is a very biased document. It really is. Every single occasion, starting in the Hebrew Scriptures and continued in the life of Jesus, God always takes the side of the one with the least power. Check me out on that. It's amazing that people don't recognize that. And that's what he's doing right here. This account is only found in Luke's gospel. And of course, we might not catch the full impact of it because, frankly, we have insurance and retirement accounts and all kind of social security nets. Most of the world never had any of those. Your only social security net was your family. And that's why families stuck together. That's why divorce was unthinkable. All I have to take care of me is one another. So people, children, were loyal to their parents and vice versa, and loyal to one another because, frankly, they needed one another. And so we have revealed here a woman who fell outside of any social security net. She's a widow, so already she's rather helpless, and now she's depending upon her one son to take care of her, and he dies. So they're hauling his body out of the city. And most beautifully, the Greek, not that I'm an expert in Greek, but the word is extremely strong. It translated here, he's moved with pity. The actual word says, his bowels groaned, which was a Hebrew way of speaking deep, deep feeling. So if Jesus is the image of God, and we want to know what's going on inside of God, then we look at what Jesus does here and everywhere else, and we have to say, God suffers. Almighty God isn't really the best way to begin a Christian prayer. If we were really honest with the revealed nature of God, we'd say all vulnerable God. Just the opposite. Exactly the opposite. God is not clearly in control. Look at the state of our country and the state of our world. It seems God has almost no say. Instead, what God does is allow into God, and I don't understand that, I'm not God, but all of the ecstasy and all of the agony on this planet. And if you want to see God, just look in both the suffering and the joy. That's God. It's scattered around between you and among you and in your heart and in your life. And every unjust, every tragic, every sad, every terrible thing you've ever heard about is somehow, believe it or not, the suffering of God. And if we are to believe this kind of gospel, what it says is that God cares about human suffering. It matters to Him that He can feel in His bowels the sadness and the fear of this woman who now is totally on her own, and He does something about it. You see, the miracle stories are not just an attempt to prove that Jesus was God, for you to say, wow, He can raise the dead to life, that must mean He's God. That's not the point at all. That God is the master of life and death, yes. But it's not to make you say, wow, Jesus is God. It's to reveal to you what God cares about. And you become the God you worship. And if you care about the things that God cares about, you will find yourself going toward the widow and the orphan and the poor and the hopeless and the marginalized. Does that sound like the politics of America? I don't think so. And yet we dare to call ourselves a Christian country. And it's all about climbing and making more money and electing rich people president so we can all imitate and be like them. We have not gained, by reading the gospel, the eyes of Jesus to look not toward the top, but toward the edge and the bottom, to recognize the hopeless and the helpless ones who are widowed and orphaned and have no social security net whatsoever. You will know when you have met Jesus, when you and I start seeing and thinking that way.